united in their works. I'm Mark Shea for CatholicExchange.com.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Immortal life, overcoming disunity. Are you at odds with yourself or someone else? We want to help you achieve that unity and peace. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Listening to Mortal Life, the show that explores the life we're all called to live through the theology of the body. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today, this Spy Wednesday, we are looking at Holy Week. And, you know, Holy Week is a really big time for those who are interested in the theology of the body. And a lot of folks don't make that connection. But the truth is, this is really, in many ways, the pinnacle of what the theology of the body is looking at, because this whole week is about that wedding celebration that is the cross, that when heaven was wedded to earth through Christ's ultimate act of self-donation. In fact, and Father Thomas Loy is going to join us in a bit, and he's going to talk more about this. In the Eastern Catholic churches, the Byzantine Rite, for instance, they refer to Holy Week as the week of the bridegroom, because this is really all about our wedding to our Lord, and what he, through his self-donative sacrifice on the cross, did to build unity. So today we wanted to focus on that whole idea of building unity. You know, Jesus tells us that his wish is that we all might be one in him. But sometimes we have a hard time being one with ourselves, much less the other people that are complicating our lives.
Oh, isn't it the truth? And for some reason, you know, we have all this grace and outpouring of the Holy Spirit during the next, you know, 2 weeks, really. We have all of Holy Week, the Triduum, Easter Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday the week after that. And yet we often find ourselves this time of year just really dealing with so much that's weighing on us and so many people that we are at odds with. And we're told we're supposed to, you know, leave the altar and go and reconcile with our brothers and sisters. We're supposed to make it right. But that can be a tall order sometimes. And sometimes you need a little help figuring out how to do it in a way that's grace-filled, how to do it in a way that will actually work, so we're not just coming wounded back to God and saying, but I tried, it just didn't work, what should I do? If you're dealing with those people in your life that you're not feeling that unity with today, and you know you should be, whether you want to or not, you don't know what to do about it, give us a call and we'll help you out at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Oh, that, let's bring our concerns before the Lord in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gift of your grace that enables us to strive for unity. We thank you for reminding us through your servant Pope John Paul II that we were created to experience that original unity between man, woman, and God, and that we are destined, once again, to experience that nuptial union and the eternal wedding feast with you. And we know that you give us the grace to become one in you. But Lord, the truth is, that's a tall order for many of us, for all of us. And we all struggle to achieve that unity even inside our own hearts, much less with the people who share our life. Conflict and disagreement and misunderstanding tend to complicate our ability to achieve that unity and peace that we're all called to live. And so now, Lord, we ask you to be both our model, our guide, our inspiration, and the source of the unity that we are pursuing. Help us to overcome the obstacles that stand between us and greater togetherness and unity with all the people that you send our way. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name
and
of the Father,
and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are talking with you today about pursuing unity. Again, because Holy Week is really all about that mystical wedding ceremony of Christ on the cross that wedded heaven to earth. And in this theology of the body perspective, of course, we remember that through that act, God was unifying the world to himself. And so today, we're looking at that whole question of unity. And the challenge that we all face in trying to find unity in our own hearts and unity with the people in our life, our spouse, our kids, the people who don't understand us and frustrate us and get in our way. 877-573-7825. We've got some great tips for bringing unity and peace out of the chaos and discord in your life.
Well, it's interesting, Greg, because of course the ultimate image that we're given here is, as you said, this nuptial union that we have with Christ that we're given during this Easter week. But you know, we've been having a conversation in our house this week with a little different take on it, just as true, because you know, of course, we are all adopted sons and daughters of God. It was through this week, this Holy Week, that we really became God's children again after the fall, after that separation, and Christ came and he suffered and he died and he rose for us. We had the right to be called children of God again because of what he did. In our household, this wonderful, most important of days lines up perfectly for us with the adoption, the anniversary of the adoption of our daughter Lily. And it was 5 years ago this week that Lily became part of our family. And in adoption circles, that day that you finally have that child in your arms is often referred to as Gotcha Day. Like, finally, after all this work, I've got you in my arms. And we're celebrating that this week with Lily. And, of course, at the same time, we're also reading the Passion with her, all the steps that lead up to this every morning, because that's one of the things she and I do. We get together, we have breakfast in the morning, and we read whatever is pertinent in Scripture that morning together. And so we're reading that, and she was talking about the fact that, you know, okay, here we are all adopted sons and daughters of God, and asking questions about, you know, when we got her, in those words. And we were really talking about how parallel it really is. It's not one defining moment. It's all the work that goes into it. You know, when we were adopting her, not only did it take reams and reams and years of paperwork, but even from that moment they placed her in our arms, there were still multiple hurdles to jump over to get the paperwork in place, to get the medical things done. There were moments and steps of her becoming completely ours. And then, of course, afterwards, the emotional attachment that it took in steps after that. And I'm reflecting on these two things together, how she became our daughter, how we become sons and daughters of God again. I think it flies so much in the face of a lie that Satan really wants us to believe, which is, if a relationship is really meant to be, then it's going to be easy. You know, if you're really in love, if you're really meant to be together as a couple, it's just going to be so easy. They're going to be able to read your mind and all of everything's going to go well. You're never going to step on each other's emotional toes.
If I could, you know, the reality is parents think that about their
about
kids,
about raising
too,
their kids. I was going to say, it's every relationship.
And that, you know, somehow if my relationship with my kid is difficult because we have personality clashes or because they have different needs than I expect them to have, that somehow that means there's something wrong here. And really, you know, we are all different persons. We're all unique and unrepeatable, and we struggle with our own selfishness and other motivations that get in the way of being able to achieve that unity. But that's what we're all called to be able to get beyond that sort of selfish perspective that keeps us focused on what we want to give others, and instead really respond to who they are as unique and unrepeatable persons and give them what they really need.
And I just want to underline, it really is every relationship. It's that we're really sold the lie in romance. You know, it's, if you're really meant to be together, it will just be easy. As you said, we're told this with our kids. You know, I remember very clearly somebody saying to me once about their six-month-old. They're like, this six-month-old is just, it's not what I expected. This kid's a bad kid. I expected the ivory snow baby, exact quote. And she's up all night crying, and she's just hard to deal with. But that didn't mean that the kid was bad or that the relationship wasn't right. It meant that there was work that needed to be put into it.
Well, I think, because I think a lot of people define a good kid as an easy kid. And they're not, it's not the same thing.
Or any relationship as it's good if it's easy. You know, those relationships at work that could bear great fruit for the company you work for, great fruit for you in terms of growing in your abilities to do your work. But those relationships are hard because your personalities are clashing or the way you do things are clashing. Those friendships where the minute you hit a bump in the road, instead of working on it together, you just kind of run away. You know, it really is that moment of, I can't handle this. I want to run away. It's too hard. The thing about it is, though, that, yeah, we can see as we look at how Jesus suffered and died for us over all of these days, the work that it took, the effort that it took for us to become his children, God's children again, or to, as we were talking about, have that nuptial union with him. It took work. But here's the thing. It can't just take any work. It has to be work that's going to be effective. If you feel like you've been beating your head against a wall with those people in your life you don't have unity with, if you feel like you've tried everything, if you feel like, as one of our Facebook fans this morning said, even prayer doesn't seem to be working, let's get some effective ways to do the work that God's asking you to do to repair the kingdom, to repair that unity, so that we can all be one in Christ.
877-573-7825. Who are you at odds with right now? Is it your spouse? You know, because you and your mate are just going round and round about that issue that you always come back to and just never gets resolved. Maybe it's your kid who thinks that you should be allowing them to do everything that their friends do, and they don't understand why they have to come home at the time they do or can't do the things that they want. Or while you're on them about their chores or other things. Maybe it's a friend who doesn't really get that you have a life and can't be at their beck and call. Or for that matter, a mother-in-law who feels the same way. Who is it that you are at odds with? We are talking about building unity today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Of course, every day on our Facebook page at Facebook.com/More to Life Radio, you can check that out. We have a discussion question of the day, and today's discussion question, in your everyday life, what people are you most at odds with, and how's it complicating your life? We want you to join those discussions, as we said. Just go to your Facebook page, and in there, type in More, the number 2, Life, and PopChack, P-O-P-C-A-K. It'll take you right there, or you can go to Facebook.com/More, the number 2, Life, Radio. But we're joining the conversation again. The question, in your everyday life, what people are you most at odds with? And how is it complicating your life? We got some really great responses. I want to share some of those with you right now.
We do. Nicole said, oh, boy, this would take way more than one-hour radio show. There's always at least one somebody who's making life difficult. But I'll be realistic and start with the face in the mirror. I'm a bit at odds with myself because I'm not who or what I think I should be. How does this complicate my life? Well, my own weaknesses exacerbate the problems I have with other people. As I continue to develop more consistent strength and confidence, I'll be better able to deal with the other people I find myself at odds with. Until then, any weak responses lead to misunderstandings, short tempers, arguments, and me being the world's doormat. So it winds up being more work to fix what shouldn't have transpired in the first place. If I was a stronger person, sigh, she ends with.
I'm sorry, Nicole. It sounds like you're kind of demoralized today, and I just want to encourage you, you know, because we are all broken, and it's only through God's mercy that we put things back together again and his grace and our hard work. And so we're all in that same boat. Some days we feel it a little bit more acutely than others, and clearly you're in that place right now, so we do lift you up in our prayers and ask God to give you his peace and grace, that you would be able to achieve that unity that you're looking for in your own heart so that you can be who you need to be for those others in your life. Having said that, I think the most important thing that you need to concentrate on are your strengths, because we can't build on a foundation of sand. You know, we have a tendency to kind of look at what's broken in us and how we're all messed up and how we can't be who we need to be for ourselves or for others. And then we say, okay, God, you know, do something with this. And, of course, God does do something with that, but in order for it to stand up and stay put, we need to give God a foundation to build on. And in other words, when we go to him with these thoughts about how broken we are and how messed up we are, what tends to happen is that he will give us those tools to build something out of that, but then the shifting sand of our thoughts causes that structure that he's trying to create to just get to sink. So we have to start by saying, all right, God, you know I'm broken in so many different ways, and I know I could never do this on my own, but you have given me this, you know, and you have given me that, and you have allowed me to have this virtue, and I'm grateful for all of those gifts. Please build on that. Help me see how I can use those gifts to do something. You know, I kind of see this as, I don't know if this is a too old a thing, but I don't think so because of the movie that just came out a year or two ago, MacGyver. Everybody remember who MacGyver is?
Oh, that's an old reference, but I know they've done some. It can't be that old.
Well, no, because
they're still doing Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
To it,
so, well, the reason I bring up MacGyver is because this is how I see the thing. You know, MacGyver, the conceit for the show was that, you know, MacGyver was always building. You know, it's, I have to build a nuclear reactor out of a hairdryer, a squirrel, and a penknife. You know,
and a piece of string.
Exactly.
Always a piece of string.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he somehow managed to do it. And we all kind of have to be that way spiritually. We've all got to be those spiritual MacGyvers who take the little pieces of nothing that we've got and with God's grace put it together in some amazing way that makes people stand back and say, how'd he do that? Which then gives us a chance to say, one me, God, right?
Well, exactly.
And so, but that's what we have to do, Nicole. You know, instead of looking at the profound deficits that you feel are in your life, take a moment today, take a little bit of time in prayer today to ask God to show you what he has to work with. And it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, like the hairdryer, that piece of string and that penknife, or it's just five loaves and two fish,
mm-hmm.
or the other way around. But whatever. Anyways. But God will do amazing things with the scarce resources that you provide for him, as long as you bring that to the table, though.
One of the other things that I reflect on when I read Nicole's post is the beauty of the fact, Nicole, that you see that you're struggling, that you're not everything that you want to be, because one of the most important things that we focus on during this Triduum and the next 2 weeks, and heck, the next entire Easter season, is to remember God's mercy. And it's often only when we can see that we are not perfect, that we are very fallible, that we are very frail, that we don't do everything that we want to do, that when we look in the mirror, we see less than we ever want to be, that allows us to extend that mercy to other people. If we can remember how broken and messed up and weak and not what we want to be, we ourselves are, with how hard we're trying, with how much effort we're putting into it, with how much we invoke God to come and help us, how much more the people in our lives are facing the same thing. And sometimes it's those days where we can acutely examine it and say, gee, I'm a mess, that we can accept other people for the mess that they are and not let them sit there and stay in it, but have the mercy to not fall into the sin of judging them, fall into the sin of anger or wrath, but to be able to say, okay, I'm willing to keep trying. Are you willing to keep trying? Can we do this together? Can we give this marriage another day? Can we work a little harder on unifying the family that we have? Can we work a little harder on this friendship? What do you need from me? Is when we really realize how weak we are, that's when we remember how weak everybody else is too, and we can help each other carry our crosses down the way a little farther.
Who are you at odds with in your life? You know, is it yourself, like Nicole is talking about here, or is it your spouse or your kids or that friend who won't take no for an answer or that mother-in-law who thinks that you should be at her beck and call? Whoever it is, if you are at odds with somebody and striving with difficulties in those relationships, we are talking about how to build greater unity in your life and relationships during this Holy Week. When we come back, we're taking your calls about who you're at odds with and how to not be so on the outs with them anymore. But also Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute is going to be joining us to talk to us about the unity that we need to be meditating on and striving for in this Holy Week. Stick around for that and a whole lot more coming up right after this.
On Friday, March 23rd, in over 140 locations across the U.S., faithful Catholic citizens gathered at government facilities to rally for religious freedom being denied by the HHS mandate. The Detroit gathering heard Bishop Michael Burns.
We are commanded both to love and serve the Lord and to love our neighbor. Laws that protect our freedom to comply with just one of these commands, but not the other, are nothing to celebrate. They are foreign both to our religious and our national history. In the end, if we allow this debasement to stand, we will not only have turned our backs on our constitutional heritage, we will have turned away from the Lord.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. We'll hear Bishop Burns, organizer Monica Miller, and all the Detroit Rally speakers on our next program. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta, and over the past 15 years, we've worked together in building this broadcast apostolate, and that collaboration has really been paying off. We can now give listeners the most vital and appealing program schedule in Catholic radio today. We've gained recognition as a reliable source for religious journalism, cultural commentary, and practical Christ-centered help and guidance. But our biggest challenge is yet to come. We've been called to aid our bishops in a nationwide fight against the government effort that forces every Catholic hospital, university, parochial school, media outlet, and social service agency to pay for contraception and abortion-inducing drugs in clear violation of church teaching. We've been called to broadcast the case for freedom, and the voice of Catholic radio is now needed more than ever. So we need your help and your partnership. Our spring drive coming up April 9th through the 13th. That's the week after Easter. Join us. Help us by pledging your support. And together, we will make a difference.
Welcome back. You are listening to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we are talking about that pursuit of unity, you know, the attempt to get rid of the disunity in our lives. Who are you at odds with? Is it your spouse, your kids, coworkers, extended family, whoever it is? You are called to cooperate with God's grace. We're all called to cooperate with God's grace to overcome those hurdles that stand between us and the unity that we're all asked to pursue by God. But, and especially in this Holy Week, we are reflecting on that call to unity, because the theology of the body especially really highlights that mystical marriage of Christ, where heaven was wedded to earth on the cross, and the union that God restored through Christ's act of self-donation. Here to unpack that a little bit more for us, Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. Thanks for joining us today on More to Life.
Thank you, Dr. Gregory. Always good to be here.
Well, you know, you shared a really interesting insight. I was not aware of this, that Holy Week in the Eastern Catholic Church is referred to as the Week of the Bridegroom.
Yes, absolutely, Week of the Bridegroom. We even have a specific icon that's an icon of the Bridegroom, Christ, and it happens to be depicting him as he was being in the position when he was being, at the point when he was being stripped and put, had the crown of thorns put on him. So he essentially, he was being prepared, actually, mystically, although that was a horrible sight in one sense, mystically speaking, that was his preparation for the wedding day, for really the union between he as the bridegroom and his bride, the church. And that's why we refer to him in the church, especially during Holy Week on the cross, as the new Adam, and that Mary's the new Eve. And, you know, he looks down from the cross and says to her, not mother, but woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother. The only time he called his mother woman was at his first miracle, which was, at, of course, at a wedding. But he said at that time, you notice he said then, my hour has not yet come. In other words, the real wedding has not yet come yet. This is the foretaste. And the real wedding, mystically, you like to think mystically, like the theology of body gets us to do, mystically, that wedding, that consummation, the mystical marriage between the new Adam and the new Eve, in other words, between God and us, would be on the cross. And, of course, that will have its fullest completeness in heaven at the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's that ultimate destiny that John Paul II talks about the human person. What's our ultimate destiny? Ultimate destiny is to be put, as you say, the unity of our body and soul once again, put back together again. You know, we're going to get our body back with our soul, and it's going to be transfigured. It's going to be glorified, you know, for those that make it to heaven. And it's going to be united with the one bridegroom, and we will be the one bride in Christ forever. And we get a foretaste. We experience that by walking through these events of Holy Week liturgically, and especially when we come to Easter in the Eucharist. The Eucharist is where we actually experience on earth the fullest way possible of what will be in heaven forever. And that is that union between the bride and the bridegroom. And this whole week takes us through that, especially. This is the culmination. It's the whole spousal mystery, because it's Christ, the bridegroom, giving of his body for his bride in a total self-donation, you know, taking every hit for her. And in turn, it's us reflecting, as you've been saying in the program this morning, reflecting on ourselves and seeing where, and we see it in the figures that are presented to us, like the harlot who came and anointed his feet, and Peter's betrayal of Judas. We see in those people ourselves where our own unworthiness to be the bride, to be conscious of that, and that we are made worthy to be his bride only, as you were saying, through God's mercy.
Well, you know, it's really interesting that when you talk about Peter and Judas in relation to all of this, and especially when you just frame it in terms of that nuptial imagery, you know, what you're saying there is, you know, there are many excuses that we put up for not wanting to be the bride.
Yes.
You know, Judas has his despair. You know, Peter has his, you know, his perception of it being inept or not sufficient, you know, or being afraid. All these excuses that we throw up and say, you know, no, God, we can't be your bride. We can't respond to your self-gift by giving ourselves back to you because of this and because of that. Very much what we were saying to Nicole, you know, we just see our brokenness and we see our failures and we feel like God can't work through us, but he wants to.
Exactly. And in fact, when we look at, say, the figure of even in our church, when we talk about the bridegroom, week of the bridegroom, we feature some of these persons like the woman, you know, the harlot, repentant harlot, and we have her actually saying, coming to Christ and saying, you know, grant your love to the one who loves you despite all my unworthiness. In other words, she approaches him as though I can't possibly be forgiven, but please do forgive me. And we see that God does forgive, that we have to, you know, be able to really believe that God can forgive us, and we can forgive ourselves in order so that we can forgive others, and that we can have the sense that God has made us worthy to be his bride, but not by acts of our own. Yes, we have to repent, but by and large, by his own choice to, you know, to mount that cross, to suffer and to break the bonds of death and to bring in forgiveness and mercy.
So as we are reflecting on this Holy Week, this week of the bridegroom, what are some things that we really that would be helpful for us to kind of take with us to our prayer life, so that we can draw more out of that reflection on the mystery that we're describing here today?
I would say certainly a sense of deep repentance of a really true self-reflection of awareness of our sin. But in our unworthiness, but not to stay there, not in a despairing way, because again we see that these figures in the scripture, they're us. They're not history lessons. You know, it's not Judas in the past. It is us going to the depths of awareness of our own sinfulness, our unworthiness, in light of so great a spouse as Christ, who would do this for us, shed his blood for us. So we have to have a deep sense of awareness, which of course is why we're highly encouraged to go to confession. But then to realize, to keep in mind, that even the worst of us, no matter how clear our sin is, that God has in fact come to forgive that and to make us worthy, you know, his worthy bride. And also to see in our marriages, to see that marriage, the whole context for marriage and the intimacy between husband and wife, is holy because it finds its context in what happened this week of Christ the bridegroom giving his body for his bride, so that the bride and bridegroom would be united once again, you know, so he could present to himself, as the scripture says, Ephesians 5, a spotless bride, holy and immaculate, with no wrinkle or anything of that sort. So it's really the sense of thinking about, it's two things, Dr. McGregor, it's two confirming things. It's a very real, very deep sense of our sin and unworthiness, very realistically, and yet equally a profound sense of having been forgiven and made worthy to be united with Christ. That's what he wants. He wants us in total union with himself. This
Amen.
Is why he went through these events as he did.
Beautiful. Father Thomas Loy, if folks would like to learn more about your work, and especially your work in the theology of the body, where can they go for more information?
They can go to our website, taborlife.org. That's taborlife.org.
Excellent. Taborlife.org. Father Thomas Loy, thanks for being with us. Have a very blessed week of the Bridegroom, and a happy Easter to you, sir.
You too, Dr. Murphy.
All right, folks, we are taking your calls about the challenges of building unity in your life. Who are you at odds with, basically? You know, are you at odds with yourself, and you're kind of frustrated at your own failures and brokenness and times that you've messed up? Or maybe you're just frustrated with those stubborn, obnoxious, irritating, you know, self-destructive, and thoughtless people in your life. Regardless, we're called to build unity within our own hearts and within the communities of love that the theology of the body tells us that we're called to create. That ain't all that easy to do, so we are here to help each other. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We're going to share some great tips and ideas for building unity in your life and help you apply those ideas in your difficult circumstances. Who are you at odds with? Let's talk it out together right after this.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts. Questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Christians the world over just celebrated the Nativity of our Lord. But who is this divine man? Why do so many people in our culture hate him so? Why do we love him so much? Father Ricardo provides the answers on our program this week with Who is Jesus? Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet. Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. Remember how Nancy Pelosi said back in 2010 that we have to pass it so we can find out what's in it? Well, now we're finding out what's in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. First, we have an assault on religious liberty. And second, we have the greatest gift to the abortion industry since Roe v. Wade. On March 12th, the Obama administration took another step towards guaranteeing that abortion funding will be commonly available in the United States. How will it be subsidized? Our tax dollars, insurance companies, employers, individuals, it gets complicated and involves the establishing of state health care exchanges. But one thing isn't complicated. Conscience rights are not respected. Once again, the mainstream media has been virtually silent on this latest indignity. We must not allow this assault to go any further. StopHHS.com is the single best source to learn how to fight these mandates. Together, we are having an impact. So go to StopHHS.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Joy is an important element in keeping balance and flow in your marriage, family, and work life. One way to build up a wall of joy against the drudgeries of life is by cultivating a good, healthy sense of humor. A sense of humor can alleviate stress, give perspective, and diffuse embarrassment and disagreements. What's more, it's a sign of good mental health. It bonds people together and uplifts you and the people around you, especially your family. So put more laughter in your day. Watch funny videos, learn to make fun of yourself, and tell funny stories. In fact, ask your kids to tell funny stories. They may be funnier than you are. Humor is a great way to build up family camaraderie. The only rule is that humor should never hurt anyone else. A joke's only funny if everyone laughs. Humor's a powerful weapon for fending off stress that can steal the joy from your life and relationships. Instead, fill your life with uplifting laughter and watch the joy grow. For more information on stress defenders, visit moretoliferadio.com.
More to life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in this Holy Week, or as we were just told by Father Thomas Loy, as they refer to it in the Eastern Catholic Churches, the Week of the Bridegroom, we are reflecting on unity. the unity that God calls us to in ourselves, with others, and with Him. Who are you at odds with? You know, where is it hard to build unity in your life? Are you struggling with your spouse, going around and around with your kids? You got a in-law who is expecting you to be at their beck and call, or you got adult kids who are giving you holes. The fact is, we are at odds with many, many people in our lives, and our own hearts as well. And with God's grace and some good ideas, we want to help you build greater unity and peace out of the chaos and discord that you experience. 877-573-7825.
Greg, Carrie writes and says, "The person I have the most trouble with is someone who I think is very influenced by the devil, unfortunately. There's a problem with this person respecting me, looking out for my best interest, and then being very selfish at times. Resentfulness, anger, and lack of communication are common themes of the day. Last night I was watching a Wayne Dreyer special on PBS and heard something that rung true for me. I need to just be myself and respect myself. That's it. This other person doesn't like when I'm myself. They want me to change, to make them more comfortable, and that is beneath both of our dignities. This complicates my life because I have to constantly be aware of attacks that are coming and work very hard to keep my focus on what is the truth, and it gets very muddled sometimes."
Thanks for writing in, Carrie. That's really an interesting observation. And you know, and I think that this is, there's some truth to what you're saying, but I think that there's a Catholic perspective on this that we need to kind of keep in mind. Because, you know, where Wayne Dyer is going to kind of come at this whole idea of respecting yourself and being yourself, in this sort of sense that you are kind of what you see when you look in the mirror. You know, whereas the Catholic perspective, especially the theology of the body perspective, is you are what God sees when He looks at you. You know, and we're going to spend our lives becoming that. So becoming ourselves and being ourselves is really all about a process of change, not necessarily a process of just being who we are. And so you're right. You know, when being ourselves irritates other people and frustrates them, we have to look really hard at whether this is something that we really ought to change about ourselves, or whether this is who God is calling us to be, and kind of make the call based on that, not necessarily on jumping through the hoops that other people put in front of us. If responding to somebody's complaint or concern about us would actually help us grow in virtue, would help us actually be more clear images of God, would help us become the person that we are, as Pope John Paul II used to put it, then we need to do it. You know, we can change, whether we call it changing for the other person or changing for God or just changing to be who we were called to be, we can and we need to change in those instances. But if we are genuinely, for instance, being loving, if we are genuinely being charitable, if we are genuinely being just, and that upsets somebody, you know, just by displaying those virtues, and it does, then we need to be consistent with that and respect ourselves and be ourselves in those situations.
It's a very good point, Greg. I mean, I think that every interaction with every other human being, especially the ones that are close to us and are really getting under our skin the way Carrie's dealing with, each chance that we have with that person is a chance to say to God, okay, is this an attack against who you want me to be, or is this an invitation to become who you want me to be? And instead of just reacting, because perhaps what they're asking us to do makes us feel very uncomfortable, makes us feel like we're not loved enough, and isn't that what really gets to most of us, is that when somebody says, I need you to change, it's saying to us, I don't love you enough to accept who you are in this moment. But is it a loving invitation, even if it's presented badly? Loving in that it actually works for our good in the long run to become who God's asking us to become stronger in a particular virtue, to become more like Christ in a particular way? Or is it going to draw us farther away from Christ, farther away from who we're supposed to be, and less of an example of who He is? And that doesn't mean, and I want to be clear on this, and I'm sure you do too, that doesn't mean that if what they're asking us to do makes us uncomfortable, that we just say, oh, but I'll be more like Christ if I just suffer through it and do it. If that is personally demeaning, if it's morally offensive, that's off the boards immediately, because that's not suffering in a way that's going to help God reach out to that person. It's not suffering in a way that's going to connect you to God or help that person see Christ in you. It's just suffering for the sake of suffering.
Yeah, I mean,
it can actually be very destructive to yourself.
You're really addressing something that I talk about with a lot of my clients, which is the difference between redemptive suffering and codependency. You know, both involve suffering. You know, the codependent is suffering, and the person going through redemptive suffering, obviously, is suffering as well. But there's a big difference. With redemptive suffering, it's the suffering I endure for speaking what's true, for standing up for what's just, for acting in charity toward people who either don't know what to do with that or toward people who other people think I shouldn't be charitable toward. You know, I'm going to suffer for that. But that's redemptive suffering because it challenges me to grow and it challenges the person that I'm interacting with to grow as well. And we experience those growing pains, and the growing pains are the suffering and redemptive suffering. Codependency is a very different thing altogether. Codependency is when I suffer because I don't have the courage to speak the truth or stand up for what's just or act in love. I just want to be quiet and get along to go along, and so I enable all the people around me to continue to be broken and sinful and destructive. And I'm going to suffer with that too, but there's not going to be any good fruit that comes out of that suffering. There are no growing pains with that. The pain that I experience in codependency is the pain that comes from living a smaller and more suffocating life as opposed to the abundant life that comes through redemptive suffering.
Well, and I think a lot of people get it very confused, especially in this week, in this Holy Week. You know, we just, as we read through the Passion on Palm Sunday, you know, so many of us see where Jesus was being bombarded with all the questions and he didn't answer. He just stayed quiet. And we think that's what we should do to be more like Jesus, you know, emulate that very quiet, I'm going to get through this. This is what I'm here to do. That we see during the Passion and Crucifixion of our Lord. But I think it's really, really important, as you were saying, is that we need to remember that he knew what his call was, and he knew when his time was. And the way he suffered when it was the will of the Father, absolutely we should follow that. When we are suffering in a way that we know is what Christ is asking us to do. But he didn't always do that.
Well, in point of fact, there were many times when before that fateful day on Good Friday, there are many times when people tried to gather to stone him. And what did Scripture tell us he did? He disappeared from their midst. There are many times when people tried to accuse him unjustly before Good Friday. And what did he do? He turned it back on them and made the Pharisees and the scribes look like fools. Jesus was more than capable and certainly demonstrated on many occasions that he was perfectly capable of defending himself, verbally and getting away from suffering that was not the Father's will that he suffer. And just like that, in the same way, we need to be very particular about when we take on that burden of suffering. Is the suffering redemptive because it's part of what God's calling us to, and that it is consistent with our call to speak the truth, to stand up for what's just, to act in charity? Yeah, you know what, we do those things, we're going to experience suffering, but it's redemptive because it challenges us to grow and the people that we're ministering to grow as well. Codependency, not so much. That's just when I'm taking the suffering because I just don't have the will to fight against it in a godly way. Who are you at odds with in your life? Where are you suffering and you're not sure that that's really your cross? You know, that you're really not entirely sure that the cross you're carrying is your cross. Well, we are here to help you figure that out, and more importantly, to move forward toward that resurrection that comes after the cross. At 877-573-7825, give us a call and let's talk about how to build unity with those people that you are at odds with today. More to Life and You coming up right after this.
More to Life is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. 6 different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith Holy Spirit Catholic Church in Brighton invites you to a Shroud of Turin exhibit Saturday, April 7th. This multimedia presentation includes life-size photographs and a documentary, The Face of Jesus. This is a free event. For more information, call 810-231-9199. Join Helpers of God's Precious Infants for a prayer vigil for life Saturday, April 14th, beginning at St. Dunstan's Church in Garden City. After Mass with Bishop Daniel Hanschen, a peaceful rosary pilgrimage will walk to a local abortion mill. Call 313-530-4539 for further details. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
On EWTN Television, watch Dr. Ray Guarendi's new show, Living Right with Dr. Ray. With a focus on faith, family, and life, Dr. Ray has an entertaining but informative look at today's issues and problems. Dr. Ray sits down with the families, interviews experts in the fields of life, catechesis, and morality, and he'll answer your questions across the country, all taped in front of a live audience. Find out when you can see Living Right with Dr. Ray at EWTN.com.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we are talking about striving for unity, dealing with those people that you are at odds with in your life. In this Holy Week, the theology of the body really calls us to reflect on that incredible act of unity, that wedding ceremony that was the cross, that wedded heaven to earth and restored the unity between God and man that had been lost at the fall. Well, God builds that bridge between heaven and earth, but we still have to walk the path. And along that path, we have a tendency to stumble on the conflicts and the disagreements and the frustrations that we experience in the presence of others. Who are you at odds with in your life? We want to help you find ways to build unity and peace out of the discord that you are living in. 877-573-7825.
Greg, I have a very moving email here from Jackie in Oregon, who writes in and says, "Dear Dr. Greg and Lisa, I'm writing because if I called, I know I'd cry and wouldn't be able to get through. So thank you for taking my email. I feel like I've been hit by a truck. I found out this week that my 17-year-old daughter is pregnant. She's a great girl. She's a very faithful Catholic, but she's in love, and it happened. I even like the boy. He's a good kid, too. But neither of them has the financial ability to raise a child. My husband and I have 8 kids of our own. This daughter is the 4th in line. Part of us says, what's one more? But this would be our grandchild, not our child. We don't know how to help her and how to deal with the stigma of all of this for herself and for our family. We don't know how to decide if she should raise the baby or we should raise the baby, or someone else should raise the baby. Our minds are reeling from this news. My poor husband is so devastated he's barely spoken since we found out. I believe he's trying to sort this all out in his mind, but my daughter and I feel like we need him to be part of our lives and sorting all this out right now. I feel like we've lost family unity. I can't reach my daughter's heart. I can't get my husband to talk at all. I'm devastated, and I don't know how to deal with the other kids and explain it all to them when I don't have any answers myself. Any advice you could give to bring peace back to our family and tell us how to figure this out would be appreciated. Thank you for your show every day. It means a lot to me. Jackie in Oregon."
Thank you, Jackie, and we want to assure you of our prayers for your family and especially your daughter through this difficult time. We ask all of our Mortal Life listeners to keep your family in their prayers as well. You know, the first thing that I would say is that you really need to show your daughter how much you do love her. You know, obviously you are frustrated and in pain and really disappointed at some of the choices that she may have made. But the reality is she is your daughter and you love her and she is bearing your grandchild and you love that child. And it's so important to let her know that you love her and care deeply for her.
And I have to say I'm very impressed with the tone of Jackie's email where she is so... in such a place where she says they're good kids, they're faithful kids, it just happened, it's just where we're at with this. I don't get a sense of real anger, and I think that is truly an amazing thing from her, that she's in that place even with the news being so soon. So,
and right up there with demonstrating that love for her is the need to go to prayer first and foremost. And I'm not sure, because you don't mention this, how much you are a prayerful family, but I hope that you are. And even if you're not, this is a great time to start. And I'd really encourage you to hit your knees and to ask your daughter to pray with you and ask your husband to pray with you. In fact, ask the whole family to pray with you for God's grace in knowing how to move forward through this step by step. And then when you're continuing to do that, the other thing is I want you to reach out to give him some time to calm down from the shock of it all. But I want you to tell your daughter that, listen, I know your dad's upset, and I know that you're really upset that he's withdrawn, but I want you to trust us, okay? Let me talk to your dad and just trust us that we're going to come out the other end of this closer than we did when we started it. But give me a little bit with your dad. And then I want you to go to your husband, and I want you to say to him, look, we're all shocked. But we really need you right now, and we need you to pray with us, and we need you to talk with us, and we need you to sort this out. This can't be about us and our feelings. This has to be about our daughter. It has to be about our grandchild. It has to be about how we can respond to God's grace here. So let's pull out of ourselves here and figure out how we can be self-donative through this very challenging time in our family. And just gently encourage him back, because the reality is when you're going through trying times, we have to. The only way to get through it is to draw closer to God and draw closer to each other, especially when you don't feel like it. Especially, in fact, the more you don't feel like it, the more you need to do it.
And you need to not do it alone. As you were saying, Greg, I think one of the biggest calls here to this family is to begin to pray together. You, your husband, if he'll allow it, your daughter, and your daughter's boyfriend. You know, bring him into this situation and say, we need to get together and pray every day about this as a family until God tells us what his plan for this child is. Because if God allowed this child to be conceived, not an optimal way to do it, but he created the life, that means he has a plan for this life. He has a plan for who the best people are to raise this child. He has a plan to give himself glory in this situation. We can say yes to that plan or no to that plan. And the only way we can know that plan and know what his plan is and where he wants this child to be raised is by asking him. And asking him until we get a deep sense of what his plan is and how we can cooperate with it. And it's very hard in a situation like you're in right now, where you're the parent, you feel like you have to have all the answers, you feel like you have to have a way to make everything right again. It's very difficult to say, let's pray and listen and get direction and take some time. I get it. You have 8 kids to solve this for. You have a new grandbaby to solve this for. You have this young man who can't support this child to solve this for. And you as a mom want to fix it all and have the answers very quickly. This is really a time where you all need to be praying together to get a sense of what God's plan is and how you can best cooperate with it. And sure, you can go over the particulars of, well, if we did it this way, where would the money come from? If we did it that way, how would we incorporate this child into our life? If we did it this other way, how would we set up a good arrangement for this child to find a family that they could live with forever? There are a million things to talk about, but if we talk about all of those too much, the noise gets so loud that we block out God's plan for us in that situation. So feel free to write lists about what would work, talk about things that would work, but set aside very specific time as individuals, but especially as a group, to really pray that God would enlighten your minds for His will for this child's life.
And again, please be assured of our prayers for your family through this challenging time and the prayers of all of our More to Life listeners as well. Thank you for writing in. As we're wrapping up the program, I wanted to spend a few minutes just talking about those ways in general to achieve greater unity in your life. And the thing you need to keep in mind, especially when you're at odds with somebody in particular, you know, we have a tendency to kind of back up and defend our position. And that's exactly the wrong thing to do. Because as soon as we do that, then the other person defends their position, and we have parallel conversations where, you know, we are each talking at each other, but nobody's really listening. The best way to try to build unity in your relationships is to be self-donative in the conflict. Check your agenda at the door for just a second. You can pick it up in a minute. I'm not saying that you can't get your needs met. But I am saying the first step has to be just putting down what you want and look at the other person and let them know that you care about whatever it is that they want to. That you're not going to be happy if at the end of this discussion you haven't both figured out a way for both of you to get what you need out of it. And that you are committed to helping them address their concern as much as you are committed to addressing your concern. If you can spend a little bit of time then trying to understand where they're coming from, you may not agree with it, that's not the point. The point is understanding why they think the way they think and how they feel the way they feel, and then saying, and what do you want to do about it? And when they tell you what they want to do about it, then you say, okay, well, we need to figure out how to do that in a way that's respectful of this, but I think we can do it. Let's plan together. If you can do that, if you can, as I said, check your agenda at the door first, build that understanding, build that unity, reassure the other person that their concerns are a concern to you, then you can pick your agenda back up again and put it together with what you've learned from them to create a mutually satisfying and unifying solution. We've been talking about building unity today on More to Life, and if you would like to experience more unity and peace in your marriage, your family, or your personal life, give us a call at the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to get everything that God wants to give you in your marriage, family, and personal life. You can learn more by visiting us online at moretoliferadio.com or calling to make an appointment at 740-266-6461. That's the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling appointment line, 740-266-6461. We wish you a very blessed Holy Week and a happy Easter. God bless, and have a great day.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life, the life you were meant to live.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta, and over the past 15 years, we've worked together in building this broadcast apostolate, and that collaboration has really been paying off. We can now give listeners the most vital and appealing program schedule in Catholic radio today. We've gained recognition as a reliable source for religious journalism, cultural commentary, and practical Christ-centered help and guidance. But our biggest challenge is yet to come. We've been called to aid our bishops in a nationwide fight against the government effort that forces every Catholic hospital, university, parochial school, media outlet, and social service agency to pay for contraception and abortion-inducing drugs in clear violation of church teaching. We've been called to broadcast the case for freedom, and the voice of Catholic radio is now needed more than ever. So we need your help and your partnership. Our spring drive coming up April 9th through the 13th. That's the week after Easter. Join us. Help us by pledging your support. And together, we will make a difference.
Sacred Heart Medical Center is dedicated to proclaiming the kingdom of God through ministry to the sick. And now Drs. Stephen Bishop, Jeffrey Berger, and Kelly Ahrens are expanding to Brighton. Sacred Heart is sharing space with St. Luke Hometown Healthcare on Grand River near VG's. So now you have another location to benefit from their care that's Christ-centered and family-oriented. The new Sacred Heart Medical Center in Brighton is open Tuesday mornings and Friday afternoons. To schedule your appointment, call 734-338-0600 at 734-338-0600.
On Friday, March 23rd, in over 140 locations across the U.S., faithful Catholic citizens gathered at government facilities to rally for religious freedom being denied by the HHS mandate. The Detroit gathering heard Bishop